Krishna Book, Canto 5, Parakiya Rasa, Chapter 38, Scene 3, The Gopi's Cry. O Providence, you are so cruel. It appears that you do not know how to show mercy to others. For by your arrangement, friends contact one another, but without fulfilling their desires, you separate them. This is exactly like children's play that has no meaning. It is indeed very abominable that you arrange to show us beautiful Krishna, whose bluish curling hair beautifies his broad forehead and sharp nose, who is always smiling, to minimize all contention within this material world, and then you arrange to separate Krishna from us. O Providence, you are so cruel, but most astonishingly, you appear now as Akura, which means not cruel. In the beginning, we appreciated your workmanship in giving us these eyes to see the beautiful face of Krishna. But now, just like a foolish creature, you are trying to take out our eyes so that we may not see Krishna here again. Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is also very cruel. Krishna must always have new friends. Krishna does not like to keep friendship for a long time with anyone. We gopis of Vrindavan have left our homes, friends, and relatives, and have become Krishna's maidservants. But now, Krishna is neglecting us and going away. Why, Krishna does not even look upon us, although we are completely surrendered unto him. Now, all the young girls in Mathura will have the opportunity. They are expecting Krishna's arrival, and they will enjoy Krishna's sweet smiling face and will drink its honey. Although we know that Krishna is very steady and determined, we are threatened that as soon as Krishna sees the beautiful faces of the young girls in Mathura, Krishna will forget himself. We fear Krishna will become controlled by them and will forget us. For we are simply village girls. Krishna will no longer be kind to us. We therefore do not expect Krishna to return to Vrindavan. Krishna will not leave the company of the girls in Mathura. The gopis then began to imagine the great functions in the city of Mathura. Krishna would pass through the streets, and the ladies and young girls of the city would see Krishna from the balconies of their respective houses. Mathura city contained different communities, known then as Dasharha, Bhoja, Andaka, and Satvata. All these communities were different branches of the same family in which Krishna appeared, known as the Yadu dynasty. And they were also expecting the arrival of Krishna. It had already been ascertained that Krishna, who is the resting place of the goddess of fortune and the reservoir of all pleasure and transcendental qualities, was going to visit Mathura city. The gopis then began to condemn the activities of Akura. They stated that Akura was taking Krishna, who was more dear than the dearest to them, and who was the pleasure of their eyes. Krishna was being taken away from their sight without their being informed or solaced by Akura. Akura should not have been so merciless, but should have taken compassion on the gopis.
The most astonishing feature
is that Krishna, the son of Nanda, without consideration, has already seated himself on the chariot. From this it appears that Krishna is not very intelligent. And yet, Krishna may be very intelligent, but he is not very civilized. Not only Krishna, but all the cowherder men are so callous that they are already yoking the bulls and calves for the journey to Mathura. The elderly persons in Vrindavan are also merciless. They do not take our plight into consideration and try to stop Krishna's journey to Mathura. Even the demigods are very unkind to us, for they are not impeding Krishna's going to Mathura. The gopis then prayed to the demigods to create some natural disturbance, such as a hurricane, storm, or heavy rainfall, so that Krishna could not go to Mathura. The gopis then began to consider, despite our elderly parents and guardians, we shall personally stop Krishna from going to Mathura. We have no other alternative than to take this direct action. Everyone has gone against us to take away Krishna from our sight. Without Krishna, we cannot live for even a moment. The gopis thus decided to obstruct the passage through which the chariot of Krishna was supposed to pass, and they began to talk among themselves. We have all passed a very long night, which seemed only a moment, being engaged in the rasa dance with Krishna. We were looking at Krishna's sweet smile and were embracing and talking. But now, how shall we live even for a moment if Krishna goes away from us? At the end of the day, in the evening, along with his elder brother Balaram, Krishna would return home with his friends. His face would be smeared with the dust raised by the hoofs of the cows, and Krishna would smile and play on his flute and look upon us so kindly. How shall we be able to forget Krishna? And how shall we be able to forget him who is our life and soul? Krishna has already taken away our hearts in so many ways throughout our days and nights. And so, if Krishna goes away, there is no possibility of our continuing to live. And thinking like this, the gopis became more and more grief-stricken at Krishna's leaving Vrindavan. They could not check their minds, and so they began to cry out loudly, calling the different names of Krishna. Oh, dear Damodar! Oh, dear Madhava! Oh, Krishna!